Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, September 22, 2024, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are studying Romans and two very special titles of God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth and the Spirit of Life. The Spirit of Truth emphasizes the post-salvation ministry of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And this is the enabling ministry of the Holy Spirit to understand the absolute truth of the Word of God. And this enables the church age believer to fulfill the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18 and grow up spiritually in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the second title, the Spirit of Life, emphasizes the salvation ministries of God the Holy Spirit, specifically the sealing ministry of the Spirit, regeneration, the baptism of the Spirit, and the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. So that title, the Spirit of Life, also emphasizes the post-salvation ministry of God the Holy Spirit through the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit as the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age and enabling the church age believer to walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. So I want to take a look at this. First of all, the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit related to his title, the Spirit of Life. How is the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit related to his title, the Spirit of Life? Now, the sealing ministry of the Spirit is given in Ephesians 1. Turn over to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 13, starting at verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So the sealing ministry of the Spirit is related to his title, the Spirit of Life. The sealing ministry of the Spirit is a signature guarantee that your name remains in the book of life forever. It's a signature guarantee that your name remains in the book of life forever. The Spirit of Life, God the Holy Spirit, guarantees that you will be in the book of life forever. And this is your passport to heaven. At physical birth, every person has their name entered in the book of life. Everyone, every member of the human race, at physical birth, they're in the book of life. However, if they fail to believe in Christ, then their name is blotted out at physical death. If they don't believe in Christ, their name is blotted out of the book of life. So the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of efficacious grace that God the Holy Spirit made your faith in Jesus Christ effective for eternal salvation. The sealing ministry by the Spirit of Life is a guarantee of your eternal life. And your eternal life is sealed by God the Holy Spirit at salvation. And therefore, the sealing ministry of the Spirit of Life is a guarantee of your eternal security. And the sealing ministry is where the Holy Spirit signs the guarantee of our salvation by writing his name in the book of life next to our name. So the sealing ministry is where the Holy Spirit signs the guarantee of our salvation by writing his name in the book of life next to our name. And this guarantees our eternal life, our eternal security, our portfolio of invisible assets, and greater grace blessings for time and for eternity when we make those good decisions to live the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of Life, God the Holy Spirit. So that's the sealing ministry of the Spirit related to his title, the Spirit of Life. Secondly, regeneration ministry of the Spirit related to his title, the Spirit of Life. The regeneration ministry of the Holy Spirit related to his title, the Spirit of Life. Turn over to Titus. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, verse 5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds, human good, dead works, which we have done in self-righteousness, but according to his grace, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So the regeneration ministry of the Holy Spirit related to his title, the Spirit of Life. Now, regeneration is often called being born again. It's a spiritual birth, because that is the way that it's described by the Lord Jesus Christ when he was with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. And that's where Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, you have to be born again. And then Nicodemus, I don't know if he was just being a smart ass or what, but he said, "Well, you mean I got to get back in my mother's womb?" You know, no, you were born physically. Now you need to be born again spiritually. So, one, regeneration is the technical term for being born again. I hear some people say, some Christians say, "I'm a born-again believer." Well, if you're a believer, you're a believer. If you're born again, you're a believer. If you're a born-again believer, you're really a believer, you know. So it's a technical term for being born again. Two, being born again is a result of faith in Jesus Christ occurring at the instant you personally believe in Christ. Being born again is a result of faith in Jesus Christ occurring at the instant you personally believe in Christ. Regeneration, spiritual birth, born again. Three, at physical birth, we came into the world dichotomous. We had a body and a soul, but had no human spirit. We were, as 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, we were a psychikos man, a soulish man. P-S-U-C-H-I-K-O-S. From psuche, soul, and psychikos means soulish. The unbeliever is a soulish man because that's all he has. He has a soul and a body, but he is spiritually dead. He has no human spirit. So at physical birth, we're born dichotomous. We have a body and a soul, 1 Corinthians 2:14, but no human spirit. We are a psychikos man. We're a soulish man. Four, however, at the moment we believe in Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and now we are trichotomous, body, soul, and human spirit. Five, the moment God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. And now the believer will live forever in heaven, because the Spirit of life has made it possible for him to have eternal life. However, the unbeliever who dies without ever placing his faith in Christ, he will live in the lake of fire forever. John 3:36. Six, so regeneration means the creation of the human spirit for the imputation of eternal life. Regeneration means the creation of the human spirit for the imputation of eternal life. So the soul is the residence of human life, while the human spirit is the residence of eternal life. And the fact that the believer in Jesus Christ is trichotomous is taught in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. You might want to turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the believer in Jesus Christ is trichotomous. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Next, the baptism of the Spirit related to his title, the Spirit of Life. The baptism of the Spirit related to his title, the Spirit of Life. Now, the baptism of the Spirit was prophesied in Acts 1, verse 5, and is mentioned in principle and mechanics in 1 Corinthians 12:13, Galatians 3:26 to 28, and Ephesians 4, 5. So, first of all, let's take a look at Acts 1, 5. Acts 1, 5. And this is prophesied by our Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 1:5. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, 10 days, in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's Pentecost. That's the beginning of the church age. The baptism of the Spirit, the beginning of the church age, was on Pentecost. That was 10 days after the resurrection, ascension, and session of Christ at the right hand of the Father. And then it's mentioned in principle and mechanics in 1 Corinthians 12. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now look at Galatians. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you look over at Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul is teaching in verse 4, there is one body, and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, Spirit baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One God and Father of all, who is over all, through and through all, and in all. Two, at the moment we believed in Christ, God the Holy Spirit took each one of us and entered us into union with the person of Jesus Christ. Uh, At the moment we believed in Christ, God the Holy Spirit took each one of us and entered us into union with the person of Jesus Christ. 3, as a result of being in union with Christ, we share what Christ has. We share His eternal life. And we studied that. We're studying that, as a matter of fact. 1 John chapter 5, 11 to 13. 1 John 5, verse 11, in fact, this is the written testimony that God, God the Father, as the author of the plan of salvation and Operation Grace, has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son, in union with Christ. The one who has the Son, Jesus Christ, has eternal life. The one who does not have the Son of God, he absolutely does not have eternal life. I have written these things to you, to the ones who believe in the person of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you keep on having eternal life. 1 John 5, 11 to 13. So that's the baptism of the Spirit related to his title, the Spirit of Life. And then we have the indwelling and filling of the Spirit related to his title, the Spirit of Life. The indwelling and filling of the Spirit related to his title, the Spirit of Life. 1, at the moment you believe in Christ, God the Holy Spirit indwells your body. The universal indwelling of the Spirit, unique to the church age, never happened before in human history. Universal indwelling of the Spirit. So at the moment you believe in Christ, God the Holy Spirit indwells your body and He fills your soul. At the moment of salvation, you're indwelt. He indwells your body and fills your soul. And that stays that way. You never lose the indwelling of the Spirit, but you lose the filling of the Spirit when you sin. Then you recover it through rebound. But at the moment we believe in Christ, you are indwelt and filled with the Spirit. 2, the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit serves as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit so you can live the unique spiritual life of the church age. The indwelling of God the Holy Spirit serves as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit so you can live the unique spiritual life of the church age. 3, the indwelling and filling of the Spirit enables us to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 4. The indwelling and filling of the Spirit enables us to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 4. 4, as the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit, provides the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. As the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit provides the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Five, the spiritual life is a supernatural way of life and therefore demands a supernatural power for its execution. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life and therefore demands a supernatural power for its execution. 6, that supernatural power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age is God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of life. That supernatural power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age is God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life. Seven, we can never lose the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. But we can and do lose the filling of the Spirit every time we sin. We can never lose the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, but we can and do lose the filling of the Spirit every time we sin. Now, that's why when you look at the scriptures and the passages that deal with the indwelling of the Spirit, it's always in the indicative mood. The indicative mood is certainty, reality. It's fact. So every time it mentions about the indwelling of the Spirit, that's in the indicative mood. That's certainty, that's reality, that's fact. It can never be lost. Every time there is passages that deal with the filling of the Spirit or walking by the Spirit, it's in the imperative mood. And it's in the imperative mood, it's a command because it's the farthest removed from reality. You're going to sin. You have a sin nature, you have a free will, and you're going to sin from time to time. So it's always the filling of the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16, imperative mood, because it's the farthest removed from reality. And that's why when you do sin, you're commanded to get back into filling of the Spirit, get back into walking by the Spirit. And how do you do that? Through rebound. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.